I started Galatians 4 weeks ago, and the only reason I started it is because I wanted to get over here. That's, I'm telling you, I started, and so, but you cannot get to truth and love and freedom until you make sure you got this part right, until you have no perversion of the gospel. Okay, so what I wanted to do for you is this. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Okay, we sing that song. Do you know what that means? Thank God for the Reformation. Do you know what it means to say all other ground is sinking sand? That means if you are clinging to anything else, you are not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Do you understand that? If you're clinging to anything else this morning, you are not going to make it. If you cling to anything else, it's a perversion of the gospel. If you're clinging to your history, if you're clinging... Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible's love chapter, it says if you have all knowledge, that means you could be beaming, your head could be like an alien's. Right? Because those are the real smart guys. Your head could be... And if you had all knowledge and you were clinging to that, instead of you're not going to make it. Have all wisdom. You can have all faith. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You can have all faith. But if you don't have love, what's the Bible say in 1 Corinthians? If you don't have love, you have all those other things, but you don't have love, what is it? What are you? Nothing, a clinging gong, boom. And that sound goes out and it's loud and then it's done. But I want you to live eternally. I don't want it to be a gong. I want you to live eternally. And so we have to cling. We have to cling to Christ. On Christ the solid rock is where we have to stand. Okay. So I wanted to go from here, you know, and the way it's leveled out is like this. There's four chapters of reproof and rebuke in Galatians. I hope you got a good grip on this. I hope after we're done here and somebody says, hey, you know, do you know anything about the book of Galatians? I hope you can say some things for sure. I hope you can say there was four chapters of reproof and rebuke of any kind of perversion. And then to get you all the way over here to love and freedom in the Spirit. I'm going to mix two songs together this morning. The second one I'm not going to sing until a little bit later, but you'll know it. I also want to tell you something else about Galatians. I gave out some extra credit work, and it was on this sheet here. And so I'm going to ask, there's some verses that are written there, but I wanted to show you that there's a lot of extremes in the book of Galatians. I'm sure that God wanted to show us that it's one side or the other. It is such a big... I heard Mike say last night, there's such a big chasm. Is that the right word?
Chasm.
Okay, thanks. I need you guys. There's a big chasm between our wickedness and God's righteousness. Okay? But there's this chasm is also... He puts it in the Bible. Somebody tell me if you came up with what you came up with on chapter 5, 3, and 4. I put that out there a little bit earlier. Somebody was looking at it. Did anybody look at chapter 5, 3, and 4? Tell me what the chasm is there. Chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. And somebody can read it, and then maybe other people can think about it.
Again, I declare to every man who has let himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. you have fallen away from grace.
Is there one in here that does somebody is what version is that?
NIV.
Is there a version that talks about being a debtor?
No. I have ESV, no.
And it's not in 3 or 4 there?
This is Galatians 5, 3 and 4.
Yeah.
I testify again to every man that becomes circumcised that he is a debtor.
Okay.
To the whole law.
What version is that?
Jubilee Bible.
Jubilee was there. Okay, well, okay. I thought it would be the same in all of them. But listen, it's
obligated.
Obligated, okay. It says here that we are a debtor in verse 3. You're a debtor to the whole law. What does it mean to be a debtor?
To owe.
Yeah, we all. Does everybody in here know what that feels like? Then we're the same. Let me tell you that. Yes, to be a debtor means we owe. But to be justified means what?
You're free.
We don't owe.
Listen, how great, you know what? Wouldn't it be great to have your mortgage and somebody goes, justified? is there a big difference between owing and being justified?
Yes.
That's a huge difference, right? That's a huge, yeah, 100%. Those are extremes. How great it is to be justified. And how great it is to know how far you've been brought from, right? I remember a guy who got a job when he was 17 years old working for Ford Motor Company back in the day. And man, did he make a lot of money. And he worked for a lot of years. But he got a lot. But you know what he had a hard time grasping? He had a really hard time grasping how somebody who was trying real hard to work for their family and get a job and make it. He had a hard time understanding that person. Do you understand that? Do you see how that could happen? He had a check every week, but he couldn't understand why you didn't have a job, why you weren't working. Man. He had a hard time with that. He couldn't understand that. And he was, and I don't think he understood. He had never been out of work. He 17 years old. He's like up in his 60s, never been out of work. If you've never been out of work, do you think it'd be hard to understand somebody who's been out of work, like for some months? Or
it could be.
Sure. Yeah, it could get hard, right? I think you need to know how much, we need to know how much we've been forgiven for.
Right?
It helps make everything clear when we realize how much we've been forgiven for. I think we need to see that chasm. I wanted to look at just a couple more on chapter 3 and verse 2, 3, 10, and 11. I want us to see that too. What's the differences there? And I'm sorry about the versions. I thought they would be kind of closer on that. But can anybody see in 3, 2 what might go under the spirit and what might go under the law or flesh? Anybody read it? Somebody want to read it out loud? Chapter 3, verse 2.
Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by words of the law or by hearing with faith?
Okay, what can you see any two diametrics in that?
Great question.
Huh? Yes.
Hearing by faith and works of the law.
Right. It comes out to be, yeah, faith or trust and then works. Trust is on one side. Our trust in Christ is on this side. This is the solid rock side. The work side is over here, where we feel like we can work our way to heaven, where we feel like if we do a little bit better, that we're going to make it. The trust side says, look, I'm a failure. I'm only trusting. I'm trusting in Christ. You guys hear me? I don't have it worked out. I'm trusting Christ to help me in my life. I know my works can't do it. The Bible says your works can't do it. If you try and go by your works, you're not going to make it.
Amen.
It's sinking sand. Sinking sand. Okay. So, there are these huge things back and forth. But what I want you to see, we're going to go off this, but listen, take that with you. There are so many different extremes in here. There is life everlasting and corruption. There's promise and there's bondage. There's being a son and there's being a servant. These are opposites, right? Being a son is way opposite from being a servant, correct? Being a slave or being a son? Which one are those opposites?
Yeah, slave.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
All right. So there's true and there's false. Those are separate, right? There's blessing of the redeemed and there's cursed. Right? Being blessed and being cursed. Are those pretty big extremes? As far as you can get, right? Okay. It's all in Galatians. Those big extremes. But now that we've been this far apart, I want to do this. I want you to please look at chapter 3, verse 26. I want you to look at that one, and I also want you to look at 28. And I want us to think about these two verses together. We've already talked about giant extremes. Tried to. Giant extremes. Works and faith and how extreme those are. But now I want to talk about, I want to do this. We're all the way out like this, and now I want to do this right here. I want to pull everything in to right here. Okay? 26. Who will read that for me? 3:26. Nice and loud.
For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith.
All right, who's sons of God?
All of them. Those that are in Christ Jesus.
What does the word all mean?
Everybody.
Who said that? He's right. Okay, wait a minute now. We've just been at huge extremes. Huge extremes we've been looking at. And what does this verse say? We are?
All.
What?
Sons of God.
We're children. We are God's children. Because I've had faith, because you believe Jesus Christ died and rose again, we are all. Is that what it said? Hey, listen, if I'm wrong, I hope somebody stands up and says, hey, Steve, I don't think that's what that's saying. I wish you would. Because I don't want to be wrong. Do you want to be wrong?
No. Just define we.
Okay, let's look at that. Well, who was this written to?
Believers.
It was written to believers. It was written to Christians. It was written to people who had faith in Christ. Obviously, you couldn't go and read this probably at some places, right? You couldn't walk into a crack house and said, all of you are children. Right? It wouldn't fit. This is written to Christian people. Or yes.
You couldn't even walk into some of my family gatherings.
Right. You can't even walk into most churches, including this one.
Oh, like, oh.
I don't know about you. Okay. Listen. This is written to the Christian. If you've had faith in Christ, we are all children of God. There's, thank you. Whew. Listen, I'm getting worried here. I'm going to go home and be all myself. It's all, I'm all, no. Okay, now I think God, you know, we want to say Paul wrote, this is God's word to us.
Amen.
Please read 3:28 and somebody read it nice and loud. And I'm going to ask you a question on this one. 3:28, it's only two verses down. What does it say?
There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus.
Woo! Hey! Listen, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are. We are one in Christ. If we've had faith in Christ, we sang the song. On Christ, if you are standing on the solid rock this morning, we are all together.
That's right.
Do you hear me? Isn't that great? We're all in the same ship. Fellowship. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, last night Hannah brought up something really neat around the campfire, in that, you know, some of us don't have these grandiose testimonies of being saved out of the crack house, or being saved out of this, or being saved out of that. However, we are all.
Yes, we are.
Right? It's a miraculous thing.
Go ahead.
Would you help me? We agree with you. Would you help me by giving an application or two of that truth that is very obviously one?
Sure. I'm gonna do an extreme one. Let's say Africa this morning, Sudan, somewhere, anywhere that there's someone this morning who bows down and says, "God, forgive me. I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sins." That person is part of the all.
Amen.
They're my brother. They're my sister. They're part of the all. Go ahead.
May I go back to your
Please.
Story of your co-worker who had a difficult time understanding why somebody could be without work? Can I talk about
Sure, that? Please do.
When you say all, we are... It seems to me sometimes when I say we, in our American culture, we can be very arrogant, and we can say, well, if we see somebody who is not working, or who is living in poverty, and we say, well, why don't they just get a job? You know, why don't they just we say, if you work hard, it'll all work out. Some of the hardest working people that I know are barely able to go from one meal to the next. They work much harder than I've ever worked in my life. So I'm just saying that when you say all, we can in our culture sometimes throw up little barriers and look down on somebody.
Yes.
Bring our sort of American bootstrap and look down on somebody, and we have to remember, if we're all, that I'm a slave to Christ.
Amen.
And that person, if they're a believer, they're a slave to Christ. And actually, I can learn from them, because I want to be self-supporting, self-independent. What's the word?
Self-sufficient. Right.
I want to be self-sufficient. You go to some of these places on mission trips, or just look around in our own community. There are people who can't be self-sufficient. Cannot.
Right.
And I can learn from them what it means to be a slave to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I can learn to let go of my self-sufficiency and the arrogance that goes with it.
Prosperity can be one of the greatest curses a man experiences.
It can be. Listen to this one. Stay with me on this one. Stay with his point all the way. In the Bible, we read about the Levite who was standing in church, right? And there was this, what do they call him? The publican was praying, right? So in that story, we see the guy say, "Oh, I thank God I'm not like that guy.
Right.
You know, I do this, God, and I go to church, and all that guy did is hit himself on the chest and say, I'm a sinner." And Jesus said, "Who went away justified? Who went away that morning with their debt taken care of?"
The Republican.
No. Okay. Listen, hey. And now listen as we think about that story, I want you to know something. Listen to me. There's only two kinds of people. Right? Saved and unsaved.
Amen.
That's right.
Okay. Now listen, in that story, you are one of those two. Think about that.
Amen.
Think about whose shoes you might be in this morning. That's hard. That's hard if you've ever looked at somebody and not been gentle with them. Right? We're one of those two people this morning. Yes.
I was thinking about how many different divisions we have. The way that people divide themselves, they identify themselves by race or by the profession or maybe what neighborhood they live in,
yeah,
or what economic group, or are they Democrats or Republicans or this or that. I mean, there's so many different ways we can identify ourselves that... Really, what this verse says is that we are all one in Christ. We have a lot more in common with our brothers in Christ than we
yes.
do our neighbors,
yes.
or the guy that lives next to us, maybe, or anyone else. We're united in Christ. That's a great promise.
Isn't that great? Isn't it great being around? Isn't it great spending time with a Christian person?
Yes.
Isn't that good for you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, don't you feed off that? I do. I feed off that. That's man. Thank God we have people in our lives going through it with us. Yes. I thought you were giving me a five sign, man. Don't do that. I got a lot to do.
I'll stand by you.
Okay, I got a lot to do. Okay.
Just to your point, a couple things I've mentioned before, but I always say that to me, one of the biggest blessings of being a believer, being saved, that I've experienced is the people I get to associate with.
Oh, yeah.
The family of God, the people who love the Lord and just the people. It's like I don't have that in my background. So getting saved, there's a lot of things you get, and you get a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all one in Christ. We may not look the same. We may not have the same amount of hair. but listen, we're all one. We're not all male, we're not all female, we're not all Jew, we're not all Gentile, though, that says, right? But we are all one in Christ. Yeah, go ahead, Hannah. I know you got your hand up. Say it. Listen, this is a wise girl here. I'm listening to her.
Oh, don't do that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Ephesians 4 talks about the oneness of the body of Christ. He said in chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, over all, and through all, and in all.
I'm part of that family. I want you to know I've trusted Christ. I trust Him with my salvation. I am justified because of what He did on the cross.
That's right.
Okay? That's my only claim. Paul says, I'm going to glory in the cross. I think this morning we're probably going to hear about glorying in the cross. That's just my own opinion. So now if he steals my notes, it'll be on him. But anyway, I think we're going to glory in the cross. That is something we can glory in. Our debt was paid on Calvary. I've been thinking about some of them old hymns.
Amen.
That we used at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, right? Oh.
There's a great old singer named Reverend Dan Smith, and he's got a song that says, I've never been to seminary, but I've been to Calvary.
That means the guy in seminary and the guy who never went are all one in Christ. Okay? That helps me. That helps me. Okay, ready to move on a little bit? Whew. Okay. Here we go. The fruit of the Spirit. We're going to go to the fruit of the Spirit now. We got a whole chapter on love. And guess what I want to tell you? The Bible, Paul brings out 17 things before he brings out the fruit of the Spirit. He lists 17 things, and then at the end of that he said, and the like. So there's a lot more.
Right.
Let me tell you what, there's a lot more ways to see evil than there is to see good. Do you hear me? Good. There's a few things that you can see when you know someone has got the fruit of the Spirit. Evil, there's a lot of things you can see, right? I want us to think this morning, okay? We live in the world. I live in the world. I meet different people a lot of times. For us, for all of us, are they seeing the fruit of the Spirit? Are they drawn to that fruit? Are we giving God a bad name? Are we giving Christianity a bad name? Do you have your cornerstone shirt on and doing something wrong? That's a good question, isn't it? I wish I could say that I always show the fruit of the Spirit, but that would be a lie. I fail, I'm human. But all of us do, right? But I'm not worried about you, I'm only worried about I need to do right. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit, there's 17 things listed. These are all, if you read them, read off a couple of those things in that list. It's in 5, well, no, where it starts listing the bad stuff, it's in 5:19. Read just a couple of things starting in there. Say one out loud, please. No. You're in the wrong verse. 19. That's not the fruit.
Huh?
Adultery. Okay, wait a minute. I want to go like this. I want to compare something, okay? Like I said, where's my pen? My marker? Thanks. Okay. All right, look. Please think with me on this because I've been thinking about it a lot, and I hope you think about it with me. Love, or I'm going to put over here, no love. Or it could be hate, right? Okay, no love, hate. Okay. Let's say one of those words. She said adultery. Okay? If we talk about adultery, which, if we take adultery and we're going to put it under one of these headings, where would it go?
Hate.
Huh?
Hate.
Hate. Okay. The A goes over here. Okay. What about, let's read another one. Does it, and think about, now when I say this too about adultery, and you love someone, you're committed to someone, and you go absolutely opposite of that, right? Is that absolutely opposite?
Yep.
Yes. That's an extreme, don't you think?
Yes.
That is extreme away from love. Let's read another one. What's another one?
Enmity.
Huh?
Enmity.
Okay, what's enmity mean?
I don't know.
Impurity.
Intense hatred.
Huh?
Enmity.
Okay. So, let's go with intense hatred. Where would that go on the list?
Hate.
Yeah, listen, is it even close to love? Say it with an I or an E. Okay, good, I stopped. Okay, listen, is that close to love? Is that an extreme? Read me another one.
Witchcraft. Impurity.
Witchcraft's also got to do with drugs, idolatry, and impurity. Are those extremes from love?
Yep.
I want to read a little bit more. What's another one? There's 17. Jealousy. Oh my. I thought jealousy died in the Garden of Eden.
What?
No. Don't go out and quote me on that, Robert. Listen, it is alive and well. Alive and well. Jealousy is alive and well. Hannah told us a story last night about jealousy. How that a guy who told this guy, you can't make it by works. You can't make it by trusting in those gods. And she told us last night that the guy he told that to poisoned him. Poisoned him. Poison. Tried to kill him. Right?
Satan hates us.
Huh?
Satan hates us,
but listen, people are still jealous today.
That's right.
Jealous enough to kill you.
Absolutely.
If they could.
Absolutely.
How many have worked someplace? You haven't done nothing bad to these people, but there's someone who, they're going to get you. Have you ever had that before?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, think about it for a minute. Oh, oh, mm-hmm. Oh, there. Go to the boss. You ever had that? Jealousy, it's still around. Is that close to love?
No.
No, it's not close to love. Okay, give me one more before we get... I want to go on to the...
Discord.
What the, discord. Someone who's tearing stuff up, right? Somebody who's tearing stuff down. That's not building up, right? Is that an extreme? Tearing down or building up? Are those extremes?
Yes.
Those are extremes. This book talks about extremes. I'm trying to hurry, Mike. Okay. All right, let's go to the fruit. I wanted to get to this. Go to the fruit. At the bottom of your page, if you got that, it says love, right? Love is the first one. Love is always a decision to put others first. The old acronym JOY, Jesus first, others second, and yourself last, right? If you want joy, that's what you do. You put other... This morning, I want you to feel spiritually, I want you to feel my hands on your back. Okay? Like right up in here. You know that? And I want you to feel my hands shoving you gently because I love you. I don't want you to fall down, but I want you to feel my hands on your back pushing you. And I'm pushing you towards this. This is where I wanted to get to. I'm pushing you to freedom. I'm pushing you to truth. I want to push you to love. I want you to do it willingly, but I want to push you this morning. I want to push you to love people. I want you to push loving other people more than yourself. Okay, because that's what God says. That's why. Okay, joy. Joy is the laughter. I thought these were great. These aren't all my ideas. Some of them are, but they're not all mine. I got them from somebody else. But listen, joy, I don't have anything new. Joy is the laughter of love. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. Isn't it great? The laughter of love is joy. I want to have more laughter, right? What about you? Wouldn't that be great? A lot of you were laughing today. I seen you. Peace is the contentment of love. Peace is the contentment of love. Patience, I really like this one. Patience is love in slow motion. I thought that was so good. This guy who came up with that, I'd shake his hand if I said, slow motion, patience is love in slow motion. Okay, let's be slow to anger, right? Slow to getting upset with people. Okay. Kindness, manners, elegance, right? Kindness, when you got somebody, did you ever have somebody and you could just, oh, there's Jeff. Oh, I got him now. It's that last time. I got the knife. Kindness is not taking that and doing what you could. It is holding back. When you could scald somebody, it's holding back. It's not doing. It's being kind. It's having manners. It's doing right. Okay. Goodness, the holiness of love. I thought that was good too. The holiness of love, okay, is moral purity. Moral purity. Faithfulness, the loyalty of love. Think about this, and this guy said it, and I read it over and over, but listen to what it says. Faithfulness is never having to fear betrayal. Is that great? Sometimes we're living for God and we're doing right every day. Do you ever feel like, hey, God, have you forgot me? You ever felt like that before? I'm trying to do right. I'm not sinning. And, I'm running into, we talk about that, right, Ron? I'm running into things that are rough.
That's to refine you, brother.
Well, God is still faithful. Amen. And I should be faithful to Him. I should keep my faith in Him. Okay, God, I know it's rough. I know you're faithful. You are not. You know what's great? God is not going to betray us.
That's a fact.
Everyone betrayed him, but he's not going to betray us. I betrayed him, but he's not going to betray me. Isn't that great?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Let's be faithful.
Hallelujah.
Gentleness is the touch of love. I want the touch of love. Have you ever had, think with me, have you ever had somebody be gentle with you? Have you ever had that? You know what that feels like for someone to be gentle with you and touch you, right? Isn't that great?
Yes.
Listen, we want to be gentle. All of these are about love. Listen, any one of those that you take opposite, it's an extreme. Any one of those that are opposite of love, they're all extreme, right? Self-control. I like this one too. Self-control is love maturing. That's good, isn't it? It's love maturing. When you're getting older in the Lord, you are maturing, right? We're under control. We don't have
to be.
Well, right. I've always prayed like this. I said, God, as I get older, help me to get better, not bitter.
Right.
Have you ever met older Christians who are bitter?
Yep.
Yeah. Boy, that's a bad tasting fruit. Spit that one out. Right? Sorry. Spit it out. Okay. I said two songs. Okay, go ahead.
So, to me, we didn't touch on it, but it says, against these things, there are no such laws.
Yeah.
As our Christian life is being regulated, we can do these. We have no excuse to not do these things. There are no laws. There are no laws.
You're right. We got all these other laws for everything else, right? In the Christian life, even, that people set up these, you have to do this, you have to do this. But there's no law in this. Isn't that great? We're not held by anything. Very good. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Did you make a comment that we're in control? We're never in control. Christ is in control at all times.
Yeah.
24/7, 360 days a year.
Well, I could use that and run my car off the road and run into somebody. But anyway, our self-control, we have choice. Here's the other song I want to sing, okay? The first song I sang was, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Now listen, we're getting ready to go out into big church. Okay, we're getting ready to go out there. But here's the song I want you to take. And every time you hear it, I want you to think about the fruit of the Spirit, okay?
Name that tune.
Love potion number 9. I started kissing everything in sight. Right? You guys know this song? Yes. Somebody heard it before?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I want, and I want God to do. I pray that you get some love potion. And isn't it funny? Hey, isn't it funny that it said number 9? Because how many fruits are there? Anyway, I don't know, maybe they didn't know what they were doing. But anyway, I thought it was funny. But the whole thing is this, listen. We need that. We need to have that poured in. We need the Spirit poured into us so we can go out and give it to somebody else. Okay, so you guys, you got to be ready to receive. So take it and now go out and give it. Man, what would that do if this many people went out into that church and, I don't know about kissing everybody in sight, but if you showed that kind of love, wouldn't that be great this morning? We're all one in Christ. Treat them at least like that, right? All right, we're going to pray. You got announcements? Okay, let's pray. Oh, God, we tried so hard to get to this part. We had to get away from perversion. We had to get away from Christ plus anything. And we had to get to this part, God, where we're free. There's no law, like Gary said, there's no law against love. God, we are all one. God, would you please help me as I try to show others love. Help me to do better. Help me to be more gentle and kind and, God, meek. Help me to be good. God, would you please help my brothers and sisters this morning as we take in this potion of number 9. These 9 things. This love potion. Help us to show it out that we have partaken in your Spirit. God, that you are in us, that your Spirit is in us. God, help us to show others that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.